found it. Water from deep underground, even frozen, was at the top of Alpha's geology program. It engaged its drive treads and moved across the broken, rugged ground to the smooth circle of ice. If a machine can be said to be eager, Alpha's geology priorities drove it eagerly out onto the frozen lake. The microphones built into Alpha's outer shell detected the crisp, snapping sound within milliseconds of the strain gauges on the treads reporting that the ice was giving way beneath them. The master program ordered the drive engines to stop, but it was too late. The crust of ice crumbled beneath Alpha's ponderous weight, and the machine began to sink slowly into the frigid water, nose first.
31 December 2095, noon. Eberle was walking with Holly along the path that led down to the lake. He distrusted offices and even restaurants. Too many ears, too many prying eyes. He preferred to take a leisurely stroll around the lake when he had something important to think about, or something he wanted to tell someone without anyone else nearby. "Are you going to the New Year's Eve gala?" Eberle asked, as an opening ploy.
"You betcha," Holly replied enthusiastically. "We've got a whole party together. My sister and her guy, Dr. Cardenas and Manny Gaeta, my friend Raul, even Nadia Wonderly with her date."
He noted that she did not invite him to join their festivities. "It sounds as if you'll have lots of fun."
"We aim to."
Eberle's smile faded. He grew serious. "Holly, I'm glad you agreed to meet me outside the office. After all we've been through, it's rather awkward for me to have a private discussion with you."
"I guess," Holly replied.
"I suppose I can't blame you for hating me," he said, turning up the wattage on his smile. Once, Holly's knees would have gone watery if he'd smiled at her like that, but that was before Eberle had stood by passively and watched his holy disciple's cronies beat her unmercifully and methodically break her fingers.
"I don't hate you, Malcolm," she said evenly. "It's your so-called friends who I'd like to see rot in hell."
"They weren't friends of mine," he protested. "I was forced to work with them."
"They killed that harmless old Don Diego."
Eberle went silent for several paces. "They've paid for that, all of them."
"I suppose," said Holly.
She turned her face from him.
As they walked slowly along the bricked path, Holly looked around at the green grass, the flowers blooming along the edge of the walkway, the gentle hills and trees. In the distance, she could see the neat checkerboards of the farmlands. The sunlight streaming in from the solar windows felt warm, comforting. A perfect springtime day, she thought, just like every day here in the habitat. She raised her eyes and saw the ground curving up all the way overhead, villages and clumps of trees and brooks and little lakes above her, a bit hazy with distance, but still discernible, a perfect inside-out world. "It's so beautiful," she thought. "Why do people have to mess it up? Why did those friends of Malcolm's want to take over the government and turn this into another one of their fundamentalist dictatorships?" "You're very quiet," Eberle said gently. "Why can't people be good to each other? I mean, we've got a flaming paradise to live in, and people still can't get along the way they should."
Eberle stared at her for a long moment, his mind clicking along. "She's given me an opening," he told himself. "Use it." "That's part of our responsibility, Holly."
"Our responsibility?"
"As leaders of this community, as directors of the government."
"You're the chief administrator. I just run human resources."
"Don't say just, Holly. You hold a position of great responsibility." He made his best smile for her. "Remember, that was my position when we first came to this place."
She couldn't help but smile back at him. "Eye click." "I really want to build a fair and generous government here," Eberle said with great seriousness. "I really do." "I guess. And I need your help, Holly. I can't do it by myself." "My help?" "As director of human resources, you hold a key responsibility. I want to make certain that we're on the same team. Of course we are. What else? Everly walked on for a few paces before answering. Holly matched him, stride for stride. She was slightly taller than he, her legs longer. You know our re-election campaign will start in a few weeks, he said at last. The election isn't for another 6 months, Malcolm. I know, but the deadline for registering as a candidate is January 15th, and once the candidates are registered, the campaigning has to begin. We can't just sit around and expect people to go out and vote for us without a campaign to stir them up. Not us, Holly said. You. You're the only one who has to get elected. The rest of us are appointed. Yes, that's true. But I think of us as a team. You, me, the other department heads, we're the ones who have to make this government work. We're the ones who have to serve the people. Not that the people care that much, one way or the other, Holly said. Most of them won't even bother to vote, betcha. We've got to make them care. It's their government, their lives. Holly looked into his face. He seems so blinkin' serious, she thought. Maybe he really believes what he's saying. Malcolm, all they really want is to be left alone. The less they see or hear of the government, the better they like it. He fell silent again for a few paces. Then, you may be right. Just leave them alone. That's all they really want. You may be right, he repeated. There's more to it than that, isn't there? Holly asked. What do you mean? You're worried that my sister might ask for citizenship and then run against you. That's why you want to start the campaigning so early, to preempt her. Everly's pale smile returned. You're a very perceptive woman, Holly. No prob, she said. Pancho's retired. She doesn't want to do anything, let alone run for chief administrator. She says she's finished with sitting behind a desk.
He thought that over for a heartbeat or two. That may be what she says now. Pancho says what she means and means what she says. She's not running for your job, Malcolm. Jeeps, she's not even sure she's going to stay here for more than a few months. I'm relieved. I bet. Not for the reason you think, Everly said. It's not because I'm glad she won't oppose me. I'm relieved because you won't be caught in the middle between us. I'm relieved because you can work with me with a clear conscience and no family ties getting in your way.
Oh, yeah, I click. Me too, I guess.
Everly refrained from smiling. Show her you're serious, he told himself. Show her you care about her feelings. But inwardly he exulted. I won't have to worry about Pancho Lane. I've got Holly's undivided allegiance. Now to get my campaign rolling. Well, he said slowly, I'd better be getting back to my office. There's no end of work for me to see to.
Holly nodded. Think I'll finish walking around the lake, then go back.
All right. He turned and started back toward the village.
Oh, hey, Malcolm,
Holly called. He turned a questioning look on his chiseled features.
In case I don't see you, Happy New Year.
Oh, yes, of course. Happy New Year to you too, Holly.
Nadia Wonderly waited for Chris Cardenas in the corridor outside the nanotech lab. The warning light on the heavy steel hatch began flashing red, indicating that the inner door had been opened. Impatiently, Wonderly watched the light panel cycle through yellow and green before the corridor hatch swung slowly inward. Cardenas stepped through, looking chipper and bright in butter-yellow coveralls. Hi, Nadia.
Hello, Chris. Is Raoul coming, too?
Soon as he gets through the airlock, Cardenas said, gesturing at the light panel.
Once I get down to the weight I want to be, Wonderly thought, I'll have to get Chris to flush the nanos out of my body. The authorities won't allow me back on Earth if I have nanos inside me. I'm not going to stay in this habitat forever, she told herself. I've got to go back home someday.
Are you coming with us tonight? Cardenas asked. I reserved a table for 10 at the pavilion.
Wonderly felt her cheeks flush.
You bet I am. With our chief computer engineer. His name's Daoud Habib. A real hunk.
That wasn't entirely true. She